It was advertised that the devil was going to put his tools up for sale. On the date of the sale, the tools were placed for public inspection, each being marked with its sale price. There were a treacherous lot of implements: hatred, envy, jealousy, doubt, lying, pride, and so on. Laid apart from the rest of the pile was a harmless-looking tool, well-worn and priced very high. "The name of the tool?" asked one of the purchasers. "Oh," said the devil, "that's discouragement. Why have you priced it so high?" "Because it's more useful to me than the others. I can pry open and get inside a person's heart with this tool. Now, once I get inside, I can make him or her do what I choose. It's a badly worn tool because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know it belongs to me." The devil's price for discouragement was so high that he never sold it. And it is still his major tool, and he still uses it on God's people today. I wonder, has Satan been using the tool of discouragement on you this past week, the tool of disappointment? Well, if he has, this is a timely message for you today. Because we find in Haggai chapter 3 that there were people who were discouraged. And I know that last Sunday we looked at the first 9 verses of Haggai chapter 2, but I want to go back there again today. You'll forgive me for going to the same passage 2 weeks in a row, but sometimes that's just the way the Lord leads us. Turn to Haggai chapter 2, please. Page 945. Let's read the first 9 verses again. Haggai chapter 2, page 945. "In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts.'" Isn't that lovely? That phrase, "for I am with you, saith the Lord." Whatever your disappointment has been this past week, whatever your discouragement has been, I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, the Lord is with you. You see, some people would stand up and today, some clergymen would say, "Oh, the Lord's with everybody. Oh, you had a hard week, did you? The Lord's with you. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not." He'd be a liar. Because the Lord does not promise to be with anyone who is not his child. But if you are his child, and if you have humbled yourself and cried out to him for mercy, then be assured of his presence with you all the time. This is a promise for you today. The Lord says to you, believer, "I am with you." Let's read on. Verse 5, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." My, isn't that a beautiful promise? "In this place will I give peace." If you're not a Christian, you need to turn to the Lord today, thank God you can. Turn to him right now. You don't have to wait till 12:30. No. Cry out to him now from your heart, and he will save you, and he will give you peace. Peace like you've never known before. But if you are a child of God and you have had a discouraging, disappointing week and circumstances have just floored you, I want to tell you that the reason you're in the church this morning is because the Lord wants to give you peace. He can handle your circumstances. He can handle your situation. Whatever the need is in your life or in the life of your family, Jesus can meet that need. So I pray, it's my prayer, that if you are troubled today, that you will climb up on the Lord's couch and let him comfort you. There's no couch like his. We are often racked with anxiety, aren't we, as Christians? But it's good to know that we have someone we can turn to. The Lord does not want us to hold on to the burden, the anxiety, whatever it is, the fear that is tearing us apart. Give it to the Lord. Tell him about it. Let me ask you, brother or sister in Christ today, have you told the Lord about your troubles? So often what we do is we tell everybody else about our troubles, and the Lord's the last one we talk to. But actually it should be the other way around. The Lord's the first one we should tell about our troubles. And it's amazing whenever you just pour out your heart to the Lord, and whether it's in your own home or whether it's Sunday evening at 6:30 or Thursday evening at 7:30, it's wonderful how whenever you tell the Lord about the problem, how the problem seems to be halved. Well, the problem's still there, but somehow it doesn't seem to be as heavy. Burden's not as heavy. The mountain's not as big. Let's read on. Verse 10. No, actually we'll leave it there. We'll leave verse 10 and the rest of the chapter for next week. So back to the subject of discouragement, disappointment, whatever word you care to use, despair. Here we have people in Haggai chapter 2 who were discouraged, disappointed, and full of despair. But the Lord didn't want them to remain like that. I want you to notice first the cause of their discouragement. The cause of their discouragement. First of all, it was the things they remembered. The things they remembered. The question is asked in verse 3 by Haggai, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Almost 70 years previously, these Jews had worshipped in the temple. But the temple had been destroyed. The temple had been razed to the ground. But there were older people, there were elderly folk here who remembered the first temple, Solomon's temple. And my, that memory was a discouragement to them. You would have thought that that memory would have been an inspiration to them. Let's get the temple built again, rebuilt. My, what a beautiful temple we used to have. Let's do our best to get it back to as close to that as possible. But no, in fact, the memory of Solomon's temple discouraged them. You see, folks, memory can be a blessing or it can be a curse. And for these Jews, memory was a heavy burden that hindered their progress. The memory of Solomon's temple, because of the glory of it, and because they thought that the building they were erecting was as nothing compared to it, they were discouraged, and they said to themselves, what's the point? Their attitude was, there's no point in even beginning this building project. Let's just give up. The things they remembered, they were the cause of their discouragement. I want to say, secondly, that the cause of their discouragement was the things they forgot. The things they forgot. You see, in verse 4, the Lord says, I am with you. Have you forgotten that today, child of God? The Lord is with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter who's against us when the Lord is with us? In verse 5, the Lord says, my spirit remaineth among you. And the Holy Spirit is still remaining among us today. Yes, thank God he was with those Jews who had returned from Babylon all those years ago. And thank God the Holy Spirit is with us today in new buildings in 2018. Did you believe the lie of the devil that the Holy Spirit has departed? That's impossible. I mean, how could he when he lives within every believer? I mean, the only way he's going to leave is if we leave. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. The Holy Spirit's not for leaving, folks, until the work is done. Until the trumpet sounds, he will be here. Do we deserve his presence? Do we deserve his assistance? Not a bit of it. But you see, he's the Spirit of grace. And where he sees the blood of Christ, he comes. That is the one thing that attracts the Holy Spirit. It's the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is attracted to perfection, not our perfection, the perfection of Christ. And where a people are leaning on the perfection of Christ and leaning on the finished work of the cross, you can guarantee the Holy Spirit will be there. Ah, they were discouraged because of what they remembered and what they forgot. But let me say also, they were discouraged because of the comparisons they made. The comparison they made. This was a cause of discouragement and disappointment. The comparison they made with the first temple plunged them into despair. Verse 3, is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? You notice Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Can you picture these elderly men weeping, shedding tears? It's a kind of a paradox in Ezra chapter 3. It's a sort of a mixed scene, because you've got young people and they're rejoicing, they're shouting aloud for joy, which is wonderful. But also you've got older folk and they're weeping, they're crying because of the difference between the first and the second temple. I want to say, friends, that both are acceptable. And there's a time and a place for both in the work of God. There's a time and a place for joy, and there's a time and a place for weeping. So if you're joyful today, don't let the devil dampen it and tell you, Christians shouldn't be joyful, Christians shouldn't be happy. You're supposed to be miserable until you get to heaven. If people believe that, you know. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're rejoicing today, keep on rejoicing. But I wanted to say today, if you're weeping, if you're sad, if you're brokenhearted, that's also acceptable. And the Lord understands what you're going through. And the Lord has a very tender place in his heart for those who are weeping. Don't be discouraged. You've got a weeping Savior, the man of sorrows, who is able to strengthen you and help you. Some people, when they go through difficult times, they run away from the Lord Jesus. No, actually what we need to do is run to him. Some people, when they go through hard times, they say, I'll not be back in church. Actually, the first place that we should go to, that we should run to in trouble, is church. The cause of their disappointment. Let me finish with the cure for their disappointment. The cure. They had to let go. All right, Haggai comes with a message and he says, now, I know about the past. You've got precious memories from the past. But don't live in the past. You've got to let go. Otherwise, if you just dwell in the past, you'll never do anything for the Lord. And that's the message for you today, for me today in this congregation. There comes a time when we've got to let go of the past. Whether that's the past week, or the past year, or however long. The message today is, let go. The message is not, forget about it. The Lord's not telling anybody to forget about anything today. He's just saying, let go of the past, so that you won't be held back by it. You remember, folks, what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of things I'm sure Paul would have loved to have done over again. I want to tell you this morning, there's a lot of things that I have done in my life, and I would love to get a second chance and to do them over again. I wish I could turn the clock back. There's a lot of things in life that, you know, in your foolishness that you do and say. But you can't. None of us can unscramble eggs. So let's not dwell in the past. We need to let it go. Move on. Learn from the past. Learn from our mistakes. But the Lord's saying here this morning, the only thing that matters is the future. They had to let go. Not only did the people in Haggai's day need to let go, but they had to look up. They had to look up. This was the second cure for their discouragement. Let go and look up. Look up to the Lord of hosts. Look up to the Almighty God. The God who had brought them through the Red Sea. The God who had brought them through the wilderness. The God who had brought them through Jordan. The God who had provided manna in the wilderness. The God who had performed all these miracles. They're not fairy stories, by the way. Atheists will tell you these things are just fairy stories, just wee stories you read to children to get them to nod off at night time. They're not fairy stories. These things really happened. They're history. And this great God of Israel was telling the people, look up to me. I'm still the same. I haven't changed. You people have changed. Because you're human, you're frail, you're fickle, but I'm not like that. I never change. I am the Lord. Look up. And that's what he's saying to you today in the midst of your situation, in the midst of my situation. Look up. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you that you are bigger than all our problems and all our fears and all our questions. Oh Lord, we thank you that all things are possible with you. So once again, Lord, we come to you with our empty hands. And we thank you that you're able to fill them. And you're able to meet our need. Whether that need is physical or spiritual. We thank you that you have promised to supply all our need, not all our greed, but all our need, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.